Hello, and welcome to yet another Patreon episode, exclusive episode, unless you're on the main feed, then you get part of this review, retrospect. It's a somewhat of a normal episode, but on our Patreon episodes, we get to do fun movies that we wouldn't do on the main feed. But yes, welcome to the Old Kids Movies. I'm your host, Trevor, joined, as always, on the other side of the country, but next week we'll be on the same side for at least 32 hours. AJ, you are the, I don't know what you are. You are the sous chef to my chef de cuisine. How's that sound?
For this one, yeah, because I know that this is a movie that is very special to you. I've seen it. I love it. I've got very, very few bad things to say about this movie, but I feel like you're one of like the big champions of 2014's chef.
I am definitely one of the big champions. I know I'm not the only champion, obviously, but I am definitely a big champion of this movie. When I saw it, I just fell in love with it. I was working in a kitchen at the time as a server and was like, dang, I love this. We had a crazy chef in the kitchen that was talking about this movie. He's like, I heard it was like amazing. I heard it was really realistic. I'm like, yes, you should definitely see this. He was a nut. But yeah, this movie's just great. I loved it. When I saw it, I've shown it to so many different people over the years. And I've shown it to some people several times. Amanda and I have now seen it twice because I showed it to her and then we watched it again for this, though she went to bed early. So yeah, this is just like a personal little favorite of mine. It might end up being like my second favorite of 2014, only to the Lego Movie. I think 2014 is just
Boyhood.
That's not a favorite. It's not my favorite. It's probably top five in there. Yeah, it's in the top five. But
you know, now I'm curious. Sorry, finish your spiel. I'm going to look up my top 10 of 2014, but finish your spiel.
2014 was just such a banger of a year, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, we have probably at least one other movie we might do on the Patreon feed from 2014, and you might have
Boyhood.
Just mentioned the one that took 12 years to make. But yeah, this one, I've always found this movie insanely charming, fun to watch. And when we started doing the show, I started to think about a little bit more critically, what is a kid's movie? What could be considered a kid's movie? And to me, it's, I think, something that you could show kids that, or at least has some kind of target for kids or family films. And like, I saw this, I was in high school, like senior year of high school, but I saw this with my parents, maybe one of the last times the three of us went to a movie together. my sister didn't live with us at the time, so she's older. So, but this was like one of the last times we saw something together, and then we went out to dinner. It was like a real family trip, AJ, so rare. I don't know. We all just had a really great time watching this movie, and I think you could take pretty young kids to see this. I'm sure we'll get into more so after that, but we don't have to cover explicitly kids movies on the Patreon feed. We just can cover whatever the hell we want and do whatever the hell we want because it's our fun zone. So if you do like these types of episodes and you're not a patron, consider joining so you can get full access to this and all other episodes and future episodes. That's my pitch.
Nicely done.
So why don't you tell me a little bit about your experience first watching Chef?
Yeah, so it's back in college when I had my radio show. Someone who was, she was the director of student life or something like that. But she was a big movie buff, and she was introduced to me as someone who was also like watching the Oscars and was like keeping track of good movies that were coming out. And she had actually recommended to me Chef. And I forget if it was streaming on Netflix or if I was still doing the DVDs for Netflix, but this was early 2015, after the movie had come out and gotten a home release, and I was watching it, and I was actually home for the weekend that I was watching it, and I was really, really vibing with this movie, and I was watching it in my living room, wasn't really thinking anything of it, and the fact that this happened for this movie is just so, it's almost like if someone had to script it, but out of the blue, my dad just came in the living room, had no idea what was going on in terms of like what I was watching, why I was watching it, and just sat down and watched it with me. And like that doesn't happen. Yeah, it just doesn't really happen. And so to have what you described is, yes, like it's ultimately, this is a family movie. It's rated R. We've got some potential adult situations in there. But for the most part, you could show this to pretty much anybody, you know, over the age of like 7, I think, and you probably wouldn't have any huge issues with it. But yeah, just to kind of have that like unspoken moment with my dad sitting and watching this movie when I was 20 years old, it was a nice experience that I'll remember for a very long time. I watched it. I loved it. I was very, very high on this movie. I'm looking at my top movies of 2014 back when I was on a Blogspot blog. This did not make the list, but I think that's largely because I didn't see it until probably like March or April of 2015. So a little late to the party. This movie didn't do, you know, banger's business. It ended up getting $40 million against an $11 million budget. So, you know, ROI pretty solid, but this wasn't like a box office, you know, smash or anything like that. But critically did really well. It got 68 on Metacritic. It has an 87 on Rotten Tomatoes, and it does really well on sites like Letterboxd. I think Letterboxd has a really good review, and it also has 5 stars from you, Trevor.
Yeah, it does have 5 stars. I have yet to review it for like this day, but it does have 5 stars for me. I probably, spoiler alert, would give it 5 stars again. And I'd say that I think this movie definitely got some more love as time went on. This definitely, people jumped to it, and then of course it spawns the Netflix show, which did you get to watch any episodes of it? Or you
didn't? I'm a busy man, Trevor. Sorry.
Okay, that's fair. Well, the Netflix show, it's basically, if you didn't know, Roy Choi, Chef Roy Choi, who's a similar story to Chef Carl Casper in this movie, worked in a restaurant, went up through culinary school, worked in a restaurant, then started a food truck and started, that became a restaurant and it's big in LA. And Jon Favreau started eating his food on sets during like the Marvel movies and stuff. And some of the big movies, he started to like have his food catering, and that's kind of how they met. And then Roy Choi was a consultant on this movie, trained Jon Favreau for a while and on how to be a chef and what it's like working in the kitchen. And then he was on set for a lot of like the cooking scenes, and you can see some behind the scenes of him telling him like, look, this pasta is your life right now. This is your whole world. When you're making this pasta, this is the only thing you're thinking about. When you put it onto the plate, it is the most delicate thing in the world. Treat it like that. And you can really see that this is how much he likes cooking. And in real life, Jon Favreau fell in love with cooking and is an insanely great cook now, because the chef show is basically Roy Choi and Jon Favreau cooking. They cook together. They kind of tell you the recipes. They tell you some cooking techniques. And then they go travel around trying other food, having other celebrities and their friends on, like they had in some of the first episodes. They had Gwyneth Paltrow on, they had Bill Burr, they had the like Robert Downey Jr., Tom Holland, Kevin Feige. I think the Russo brothers were there. They like went to this sort of seafood.
I was
going to
say, any other Marvel people coming in there besides RDJ and Tom Holland and the brothers?
Yeah, tons of them. And then they had Binging with Babish on here. And
I love
seen him.
Yeah, of course.
So he has the tattoo of, this is a cool story from the show. He has the tattoo of the, I don't even know what it is. It's like the fork that Jon Favreau uses to twirl the pasta when he's cooking for Scarlett Johansson's character in one of the first scenes. He has that tattooed on his arm, and Jon Favreau gifted him the prop from the film.
Nice.
Like that. He's like, hey, here, why don't you take it? And it's, I don't know, it's a really sweet moment in the show. And you can see a lot of fun little moments like that, and just how much he cares about cooking. And it makes me like the movie even more, because this show was released, you know, years after the movie came out, and he's still passionate about it. So highly recommend the show as well.
Good to know. I can't say I'll add it to the list because it'll probably make me really hungry.
That's fine.
But yeah. Very cool.
If you like food porn, right? Like this movie is also food porn, the movie.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever. I mean, anything else you want to talk about, like the history of this film that you found?
I know you said you wanted to do it for its 10-year anniversary this month. So it kind of is. It premiered at South By 10 years ago in March. So the general public had to wait until May to see it, but close enough. But anyways, yeah, this movie is officially 10 years old. So happy 10th birthday, happy 10th anniversary to Chef. Do you want to talk about the family thing now, or do you want to do it later?
Oh, we can talk about it now.
Okay. go ahead and give your pitch then, because I know that you've said this a couple of times, but formalize it for me.
One of the reasons why I wanted to do this, not only because it's its 10 year, but also, like, I don't know what we were doing for the other months, and we needed something for this month as we're coming to a close for this month. I think this movie may not be considered a kid's movie. Like, I wouldn't say, oh, go see Chef, it's a kid's movie, because there's just a lot of swearing. There's a lot of harsh content in there. But I think this is a family movie. And I think basically 10, 11, 12-year-olds would love this movie. Have you ever seen that interview where Quentin Tarantino's on some news station and the person interviewing him is like, you said that kids would enjoy Kill Bill. And he's like, yeah, I think 12-year-olds or whatever would love this movie. I encourage them to come to the theater to see this movie. It's been like, that's kind of what I'm doing right now. Like, I encourage 11, 12-year-olds to see this movie. I encourage some other people to see this movie because I think it could make some people fall in love with cooking, and it could be like a calling to some people. And maybe not even cooking, but just it's a movie kind of about being an artist, and it's a movie mm-hmm. about passion. And sometimes it has some messages about be passionate while also taking care of your other responsibilities, a lot about balance. There's clearly some personal influences from Jon Favreau, I feel like autobiographically with his filmmaking career of starting humble, going big, and then kind of going back to a little bit of it where he began, something mm-hmm. like Swingers, very, very low budget movie, very independent, going all the way up to making fucking Iron Man. And now back here to making something a little bit more humble and personal. Mm-hmm. So you could see a lot of his character in you could see Jon Favreau probably sees a lot of himself and Chef Carl Casper. I mean, maybe not his personality, but at least the journey.
Yeah, no, it makes total sense. But in terms of family movie, you're right. I mean, I think if this movie didn't have the kid, I think you could count it out. You probably wouldn't count it as a family movie. Also,
I agree.
Spoiler alert, there's a big thing about like him getting back together with his wife at the end, and his ex-wife at the end, and like basically putting family first. You know, focusing on his career, but making sure that his son is set up for success and is a part of his life. But I remember you're pretty gung-ho about this stance. I think it's a cool stance, but I have a couple movies I want to throw by you, not necessarily saying they are or are not a better family movie than Chef, but let's talk about them each really quick. The first one that comes to mind for me is Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, because that movie is only rated R for the I want a fucking car right fucking now scene.
Yeah, that's I would consider that a family movie. Like, not a kid's movie, but a family movie that you could all watch together on Thanksgiving.
Right, but would you say that, I mean, apples and oranges, Chef or Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, what's the quote-unquote better family movie?
I'd probably say more people would consider Planes, Trains, and Automobiles the family movie because they have a history of already watching this on Thanksgiving or something. Mm-hmm. I would argue that you should watch Chef over Planes, Trains, and Automobiles, but yeah, that's my answer.
Okay. All right. I was looking at forums and lists, and honestly, I thought there'd be a lot of competition for this. There really wasn't, but there were a few other ones that that come up aside from Planes, Trains, and Automobiles. So mm-hmm. riff with me on a couple of these. Stand by Me.
I don't know. It's a heavy movie. Like, we've talked about it. It's a little bit too heavy for all kids to see. I think some kids might not enjoy it, for sure.
I think a lot of 8-9-year-olds might just find it boring, but I think that a lot of 8-9-year-olds would be enthralled with Chef. I think Stand By Me
is perfect for teenagers, though.
Yes, yes.
Like, I think teenagers, any teenager, I recommend watching Stand By Me. It's like essential viewing or reading, you know, read the book, read the short novella, whatever, and then watch the movie.
I'm just double checking to make sure that this one is rated R. It is. Okay, have you seen Billy Elliot?
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Good pick. That's a movie that I did see a lot as a kid because my sister mm-hmm. would always watch it. 100%.
And I think that is a very good family movie because, you know, you can see 8, 9, 10, 11-year-olds watching this and seeing, like, a boy who wants to become a ballerina. There's a really big family dynamic. And I don't know, I think that would be an appropriate choice here as well. Again, maybe not as secularly entertaining. I think British movies, especially in America, it takes a lot for some of them to kind of resonate with, especially younger kids. But I think Billy Elliot's really good. This one showed up a lot. I think it's kind of a stretch, but if we're going purely on entertainment, there is a kid and his mom in this movie, but there's also a robot from the future. What do you think about Terminator 2?
I've also been seeing this on the brief.
Yeah.
The forums I've been seeing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%. I saw the Terminator as a kid. Terminator 2 is even better. I think it's more fun because the kid is in the movie. He's not a... Well, yeah, he is a kid. Yeah. He's what, like 10, 11, 12?
He's 10 in T2, but Terminator 3 retroactively decides that he's 13. But I think the biggest thing that could say maybe it's not a quote-unquote movie for everyone in the family is there is a lot of violence, there are a lot of deaths. But of course, this was a culturally very cool movie, and I think I watched this when I was 11 or 12 for the first time, and it just very quickly became one of my favorite movies, and it's still like in my top five movies of all time. Two more quick ones that have kind of come up a lot. Eighth Grade, which I know you had mentioned about Tarantino telling people to go to the theater. Bo Burnham was like, fucking sneak into this movie and go see this movie. I hate that this movie's rated R. And yeah. I think there's obviously a lot of sex content in Eighth Grade, particularly the nudes and the blowjobs and then the scene in the car. I think that might, I don't want to say it disqualifies it from being like a universal family movie, but if I were 9, I don't know if I'd want to watch Eighth Grade with my parents.
I saw Eighth Grade on a date.
How'd that go?
So here's the thing about Eighth Grade. I don't know who that movie's actually for because I got something out of it. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was fantastic. I think you liked it too.
I did.
But would I like it as much as a kid? Well, probably, but maybe not as much. I think it's probably targeted towards older people or older, like our generation might like it more because we've experienced, we can retroactively we know what being that age and in that time, we like kind of know what it feels like, especially when you're kind of close to that generation where this social media plays that role in their lives. Again, it's totally outdated now with, as Bo Burnham said, like once this movie comes out, it's already going to feel outdated. But yeah, I don't know. I think anybody could see it though. Obviously, like 10-year-olds could see it. I just feel like if you haven't experienced being in that grade yet, like being in that year, being in middle school,
yeah,
I don't know if you'd get anything from it.
Yeah, great point. Last one, I already mentioned it, but Boyhood.
Oh yeah. 100%. Anybody, any age could get something out of that.
That's also not a movie that I would feel like really that awkward watching with my parents. There's a little bit of like drinking, drug, sex, but it doesn't overtake the movie in a way that other like super bad Project X kind of does.
Look, rated R, the meaning is under 17 requires accompanying parent or adult guardian.
Trevor works in the movie theater, for all of you who didn't know that.
No, I mean, I'm just reading literally what does it actually mean? What does rated R actually mean by the MPA? Just that you need a parent or guardian to take you. And then parents or guardians are urged to learn more about the film before taking their young children with them. So if you look at Chef and see why it's rated R,
I imagine it's just for language, is my guess.
I mean, it's really language, some content that they talk about sex, but a lot of that stuff would go over kids' heads, like some of the stuff they talk about. Where they're singing RDJ sexual stuff. Feeling and then
sexual Yeah, but that's healing. Like a sing-along song. Like, that didn't...
That's so great. Yeah. It's so funny.
Yeah.
It, like, cuts to the kid. He's, he's just watching them having a great time. I did see... So this is funny. Another thing to bring up. I did look at this movie on, you know, Common Sense Media, the parent reviews for kids. This is really high reviews on there. Despite the language, people are very much encouraging kids to see it. I just like to say that this feels in a way the same as A School of Rock, where a kid seeing this gets them interested in something that they might not know that they're interested in. Or if they are a little bit interested in something, seeing something passionate happen on screen, seeing something be presented with so much care, whether it be music, whether it be filmmaking, or in this case, cooking, it gets them interested in something. And yeah. I think this movie is a love letter to cooking and creating and passion and the artistry that is being a chef, along with a love letter to a bunch of different types of cooking.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just, it's a beautiful thing to watch and experience. And I think I recommend all ages to try it. If you're a parent and you have kids under the age of, you know, 13 or whatever, obviously look up what's in there. But it's just my opinion. I don't think swearing is that bad for like kids. Not that you should say it in public and be careful and stuff, but seeing swearing is not that bad because there's no way you can prevent people from experiencing swearing. You go out in public, people are going to swear. You know, that's just maybe it depends where you live, but we live on the East Coast. So you walk into anywhere that's showing sports.
Excuse me, you gave up the right to say that, sir.
Okay. We are from the East Coast. You walk into any kind of pub, any restaurant that has sports on, guarantee someone's yelling at the fucking Patriots or yelling at the Red Sox, whatever. Just always yelling and just people being negative. You walked in. I don't know. Sometimes just walking in the streets of Boston, you just hear people swear. Not as much anymore.
I'm guilty of that too. I'll just like walk. I can be talking to one of my friends and say fuck it, yeah. And I just look and I'm like, oh shit, there's a kid. I mean, friggin', and I don't mean anything by it. I just say it, man.
No, there's nothing. Again, that's fine because you know it's in public. Maybe we should be a little bit more aware of what we're saying and how we talk, but swearing will happen.
Yeah, the School of Rock comparison I think is very apt because you've got this almost aloof but very, very dedicated to what he does figure, and he ends up inspiring this whole, not necessarily generation, but you've got the scene in School of Rock where he's teaching the kid, you know, you got to loosen up, but you got to tighten up a bit. But then the same thing with his son. Some of my favorite scenes are the ones where like he burns the sandwich and he pulls him over. He's like, do you like doing this? He's like, yeah, I do. He's like, well, like, let's talk through why that was a really bad thing that you almost did get selling that sandwich. I love scenes like that. But anyways, that's an apt comparison. Speaking of good scenes, let's talk about some of those scenes.
Yeah.
But before we do that, let's just pause right here for the main feed, unless you have something else to say.
No, I was going to say that.
Pause right here for the main feed. So if you are listening on the main feed and you want to hear our thoughts about Chef and why we think it is one of the best, if not the best, R-rated family movies of all time, you will have to head over to our Patreon. But if you head over to our Patreon and sign up, you're going to get shout-outs in all of our episodes. On top of that, you're going to get very frequent early episode releases. We don't promise it just in case we fudge up, but I can't think of an episode that we haven't released early in the past 6 months or so. And then on top of that, you get exclusive bonus episodes just like this every single month. Draft episodes, top 10 lists, classic reviews, modern reviews. We try to get a good variety of things in there, so we hope that you will go over to Patreon, check us out, support the show, and check out more content like this. So with that said, we will see you next time on the Old Kids Movies, or we'll check you out on Patreon. Thanks for listening.